Father, praise songs, Lord, of exaltations and edification, songs, O God, that give us, Lord, a cup of Father, so the Spirit of the Lord is strengthening us in this journey. Lord, sing joy in Christ Jesus, our Lord, bringing the refreshing of the Spirit upon our soul and our spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you make it possible, Lord, in the gathering of thy people together, to be aware of the hour that we live in. And now, Father, Lord, we commit this time, Father, in the understanding of thy words. Father, may you come break down the bread of life a little bit for us, Lord, and especially to the younger one in this time, our Father. We pray, Father, your love be upon every one of us, Lord, and your grace and the faith, Lord, the gift of that faith to come to the realization of our need in Christ Jesus will always maintain, Father, and grow in the grace of Jesus Christ and strengthened. In this hour now that we live in. We commit all things to you now, Heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ's most precious name. Amen. All right. I know many times the things we have learned in the past, many of us may not recall the things that we have learned. And it is important that we bring things to your remembrance. And I want to say this, that we we're in an hour that is so critical for us to really always representing ourselves. Just today's paper, if you read it, those Sunni Muslims, they've been warning the Americans about the condition in Iraq. If nothing comes out of it, they're going to strike again within the next 6 months. I'm not a prophet because I don't, you know, I don't see this in it. And, or anything special in the way to give you a prophecy. But I have taught you because I, being what I am, I'm a Bible student. And the Lord dealt in my mind to the word of the Lord to see pictures and the prophetic word, how they would unfold and things are going to develop in the world. And you know, I have told you the Lord has told us things that has taken place in our the last few months now in this year 2023. I think there are things going to develop in such a way that perhaps many people would not think much of. Maybe it's about there are wars, always will be wars and things like that. And you say, oh, well, after the economy goes down, the economy will pick up. But it will not be the way that it was 20, 30 years ago. You know, the last, the previous war, the, what they call the Desert Storm. What year was that? In 1994, 96, I can't remember what year was that now. After that war, during the war, you know, the economy went down real bad. And after it recovered. But the 911 war and the Iraqi war that happened recently at the start, I can tell you one thing, you will not recover. Because you know what? The state has been set for the manifestation of the son of perdition. For that man of sin to be on the scene now and reveal himself. The horsemen, the four horsemen of the book of Revelation, they have been writing since the beginning of time, since the beginning of the church age after it began with the passing away of all the apostles. The deeds of the Nicolaitans came in, and slowly though it became a doctrine. And then when it became a doctrine, that's why the church went into all these organizations. And then came the son of perdition, a man who declared himself as the chief bishop of bishops, and who took the title of the Pope, Valkyrus to the devil, in the state of Christ. And from then on, he plunged the whole world into total darkness. And 68 million people were killed by the Roman Catholic Church. Now, from that time on, you can see how that God began to pull a people out of the system, beginning with the Reformation, Martin Luther, John Wesley. Now, we have, before John Wesley, we have Martin Luther, we have John Knox, John Calvin, and many others, Hertz, Zwingli, all over Europe, from Germany and Switzerland. And then from that time on, of course, as the church came out, one stage of time, we have John Wesley came along and restored the word a little bit more to sanctification. And how important it is, brothers and sisters, that our life be like that. God's purpose was not just to justify you, but also to sanctify you and to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And that's the end time now. We are in the final stage of the three meal in one loaf, that which was destroyed and taken away by the Roman Catholic Church. So with that understanding, we see that in the 20th century we have this Holy Ghost baptism being poured out, beginning in 1906, a tremendous way. And what is God, what has God been doing then, all these nearly 100 years ago? Now 100 years is a long time now, almost. But when the Virgins went to sleep, it takes 50 years from the time of 1906 when the Spirit was poured out until 1956 that the prophet of God came upon the scene and called the Virgin to wake up. Bring forth a voice, a message to come out of the system, come out of organized denominations, churches. And he stirred them up. Now, 1956, another 50 years to go, we have 2006. Would God give another 50 years from the time of the message given? Think about it. Because this generation cannot pass away, beginning for 48. Now, how long is 100 years? It's a long time now. And the stage has been set. And the Bible says, knowledge shall increase. And yes, that's true, isn't it? We see knowledge leaps and bounds. Just think about it, and how many years ago, when we were young, and those of us here, maybe you younger ones do not know. In my time, telephone is, it's a rare commodity, you know. And then when people are able to get a telephone line, they have to wait. After some months, here comes the telephone man, and he came with a big, heavy telephone. You know, he could kill a person with it. You ever seen a big, bulky telephone where you dodge? You know that, don't you? And that handset weighs like a ton. And later on, of course, it became a little lighter. And then came the handphone, which is a big little walkie-talkie stuff that cost a few thousand dollars. You throw it, you throw it at somebody, it hits the ground, it doesn't break up. Now the technology leaps and bounds. Until today, you have a handphone that is as small as about 2 inches. And they already have a phone, a TV, camera, mobile phone, as a wrist, in the form of a wristwatch. Probably next year, you market it. And everybody will want one. Because you don't have to put one in your pocket. That's how fast technology has moved. Computer and everything now, you see. The Bible tells about the signs, famine, pestilence, and all these signs coming to pass. The Bible said, when you see this thing come down, look up for your redemption cometh near. And how many of us are really serious? Think about the hour we're walking, we're living in. And God has given us a message to prepare ourselves. The denomination out there don't have this privilege. They don't see it, they don't want to see it because many of them just feel safe in the tradition. That's why when God part of the Holy Ghost baptism, they want some of this, they want to maintain their tradition. So that's why the examinees of God were the first to come out and organize themselves in 1913. And there were some in that group of men that were against this thing because they were going into that old traditional form of doctrine when God is moving freely as a spirit. By and by, you know, from water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, they go back to Matthew 28:19, and from Matthew 28:19, of course, incorporated with Acts 2:38, but it's okay. But then again, a year or two later on, they took off the last part of it and maintained the baptism in the name of the triune title of the Holy Trinity, so called. And then in 1940, when this thing began to happen, some men pulled out from the Assemblies of God in 1917, I believe it was, formed another denomination. It's called General Assembly of the Apostolic Church. And they stood for the oneness. From that time on, there were other groups and other churches, and then they began to rally around and keep a lot of mission work, and then later on they began to organize, and some of them merged with the others. And in 1945, we have the UPC, the biggest oneness Pentecostal church today in the world. As opposed to, compared to the Assemblies of God, the biggest Trinitarian Pentecostal church. Of course, in the 50s, came out, in the late 50s, came out the Charismatic Church, and now you see what we have. Having a great time. You know one thing about every one of us, we want to have a good time. That's good. As long as a good time in the spirit. Not in a good time in the form of religious emotion. Yes, when we worship God, there is emotion, there is passion. We might cry, we might get joy, get carried away, laugh and dance. That's good, that's all right. But don't do that because of religious reasons. Do you think that, like that, well, you know, well, I believe it was, I can't remember, I think it was Stalin or Mao Zedong. Or Lenin, anyway, one of those communist men is saying that religion is the opium of the people. People take opium to sedate themselves, you know, make them feel good, they feel high. And so a lot of people take religion as a form of feeling nice. You come to church not being that you want to feel nice about it. You come because you want to worship the Lord, you come because you love the Lord. You understand this? And we are living at this time, my concern is, how many of us really line ourselves up the Bible, get to know the Bible more, and get to know what God is. God still wants you to know His Word. He wants to have a relationship with you. That's true. You know. Because we expect that with our whole pouring of the Holy Spirit, even with the day of Pentecost and over in 1906, we expect that prophecy of John will be fulfilled even more so, as you know, as Bob and said it so often. No? Old men would see these, and young men would dream. And upon the maids of God, upon the woman folk, they also would have prophecy and so forth. They would have, you know. And God had many times, he made mention, he believed many times that the church hasn't been a revival yet in the church. The bride has no revival yet. One of these days, they would speak the word. If somebody said, oh, you know, my field has no rain, I have no rain, and my field is not getting any rain. And the brother will come and say, touch the Lord, it shall be rain. It shall bring forth rain. And he'll bring forth rain. You know. And somebody will say, oh, you know, I'm not, I have this certain condition in my body. And the brother will come along, a sister will come along with a gift, and that revival and the spoken word and speak it. And we haven't seen that yet. The way it should be in the manifestation of bright revival. Sister Jenny, Piper, the wife of David Piper, wrote me. He said, brother, again, I'm just overwhelmed by what's ahead of us regarding the thunders, you know. It's just awesome how we're going to expect that thing to come. How are we going to feel that thing to come? We don't have to see it, you know, of course. But you know, when God do a work, He do a short quick work. And He last thing you know. The Bible says, have you ever heard of such a thing? A nation being born in one day? Nobody expect that. Nobody. But Israel was born in one day. In 1948, on May 16th. Another nation council passed the resolution, that's the Lamb. And they were born in one day. They were known, nothing else to talk about. No more discussion over it. God did a very quick short work to give birth to the nation of Israel. And you're saying that God is not going to do a quick revival, a quick short work to revive His people and give them the rapture and to be caught away to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air? And we might sound fanatic, you know. It's about whatever you preach, it's going to come to pass. What then? Don't base on my word. I say, if you don't have a revelation, go somewhere else and get some revelation if you have it. And many of them come to me, you know, the very God, I believe that someone told us. I said, somebody, if it doesn't come to pass, and there were no someone men like that we expect. I said, would you blame it on me because I preached it so hard? Or is it because that it was a revelation now that you have it? You can say you have a revelation, and when it comes to pass, you say, yes, I have a revelation, it was true. But I say, if the common man don't come, and you say, you're blaming on me. You know what can you tell me about this? Your preparation for the coming Lord Jesus Christ is not based on 2005. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because if 2005 passed, and ran to 2006, then you walk out this and say, bah! That's a fake. The Bible is a fake. Then you don't know what you are talking about. I'm not basing my faith upon the year 2005 or 2006 at the end at the beginning of it. I'm not based on it. I'm based on my getting ready every day. We are not telling a date. I may have dreams, you may have dreams. But God, Abraham said, don't try to interpret it. Just let it alone till it comes to pass. It will fulfill itself. We may think so much about it, it may fulfill this way or that way. But don't bang on it until we have passed through the Lord. Do you understand? So be prepared no matter what. Because if I 2005 come and go and 2006 come in, perhaps you come and go at 2007. And if you walk away, perhaps by the time you walk away, you missed it. You ever come across that? 1 minute too late. Too late. Some people are waiting for the bus to get frustrated. They wait. Say, you're not going to come. I'm going to take something else. Take a taxi. Hop into a taxi, here comes the bus. You pay $20 for a taxi fare. It happens that way, doesn't it? You talk about the testing of our faith? It is. So the man to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to touch on something that has been touched before. But perhaps you don't recall much or remember much of it. The Bible can only be interesting if you pay attention and listen. And want to learn. It says, Lord, I want to know your word. The Bible will not be interesting to you if you sit down and go to sleep. If you sit down and let your mind twist up somewhere else. Do you know that, don't you? I know that because when I was in a nursing school, I have a very dull lecturer, the only lecturer among the nurses in France. And all of them female, and they only got two newness. As you know, nursing is not a male career to many people. And he sticks those claws right in front of all those female nurses because they are young ladies. And this is a 50-year-old man who gets carried away because he thinks that, you know, he's handsome or that, something like that. So he just put his own claws to men in front and told them, of course, there were other female nurses behind, was not very happy about the whole thing because he just mumbled away. Well, you know what? I go to sleep. I went to sleep. I just say, okay, I'm not going to listen to it because all the mumbo jumbo he's mumbling out, then nobody could hear. I'd like to go to sleep and have a good rest and go home and study on my own. Sometimes you may think about that, don't you? But when you go back and study on your own, you better study on your own, which many people don't. Is that all right?
Sure.
I remember I was young. When the first time when you go to Chinese school, my father was a Chinese, said, okay, I need to go to Chinese school. So I need a Chinese school. And at Chinese school, the only time, every time in a Chinese class, every day, there would be a glass of milk, which is a very rare thing in those times when I was young. Just think about it way back in the 60s, early 60s. A glass of milk and an apple. So they used to teach me algebra for the apple and the milk. The Chinese teacher was Ting Chong Chang awake. I know nothing. I don't understand what this performer for. I'm not interested. I never learned. You know, finally I was dragged out of the Chinese school and dumped into the English one. And now, it's a different story. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, that one I understand. And then I get no interest in something I want to learn. Because it is something that I want to learn. And as far as the Bible, my relationship with God, I want to learn. I want to know who my Father is in heaven. Who my Heavenly Father is. And this is His word to me. I want to learn what He said in this love letter to me. It means a lot to me. Because this is a roadmap to eternal life. A roadmap to heaven. Do you understand this now? It means a lot. Ephesians 1, verse 3 onward. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. Now, one of the things that I want to say here is in this kind of message is Christ's inheritance in the saints. But in the whole of this passage of chapter 1, the basic thing here is found in this verse 9. Having made known to us the mystery of His will. He's concerning the mystery of God's will. Now, I said last time, the last couple of weeks ago, I dealt with the theme. It is finished. Now, I believe that you have seen that all things that God had done, they were all done with His knowledge of what is ahead of Him. He already foreknown what was to be. You understand that? Because of His foreknowledge, He then can work out something for you and me. Do you understand this now? So all these things were predestinated. Now, if you go back to see verse 3, now I'm trying to pick up verses and guide you along to, and I pray that you see the revelation of God's purpose in your life. His mystery in your will, the mystery of God's will in your life. What He had planned. Millions of years ago, for all we know, from the very beginning, when this universe was created, before it was created, it was already in the mind of God, looking out. And you know, as I said, time is of no consequence to God. Do you know? We know that this heaven and earth has been, well, we, in this present time, modern Adam, mankind, was only dated back to 6,000 years. Right? But before that, the world already exists. The earth already exists. The heaven already exists, and it could have been millions of years ago. Tens of thousands, or hundreds of thousands, or millions, or billions, nobody knows. You have that right? Now, if it takes that long for God to have that patience, waiting for hundreds or thousands of or millions of years just to come to this present day, and still ahead of Him a few more years to take a bride, and still ahead of Him another 1,000 years to renew this earth, and still ahead of that, to renew into a new heaven and earth. You think God is tired? No, what? It's full of patience. And you talk about patience being a virtue? That is true. God is in no hurry. You understand? He's in no hurry. He has a time to do a work. Now, you all know your school children, you all have a roster, your timetable, what time to do a certain subject, to study a certain subject for your lecture, for your seminar, whatever it is. So do God. He has a time already predestined for a certain purpose. Is that all right? And when the fullness of time is come, Christ was born of a virgin. He was never too early. He was never too late. And for your information, my brother and sister, the faith of God that's going to give it to you, and the rapturing faith to cause you to be raptured, won't be on time. Not as we see it from our point of view, because our time, we get all messed up. But when God's time comes, He will do it accordingly, and He won't miss it. And you have to be there. As the song we sang earlier, when the roll is caught up, will you be there? When the roll call comes, will you be there? Now, if the wake-up call has been given already, in this 20th century, the message for you to get dressed up. That's the reason why the wake-up call is for you to get up. Get up. Virgins, get dressed up. Trimmed up. Prepare yourself. And this is why we must be clothed with the Word of God. A bride, as the Bible said, dressed up without spot and blemish in fine white linen. Now that's the reason why the time is given to us to be in that state of preparation and be ready. Right. Are you ready? The thing. The question is, are we ready? If God has told us right here, Paul, you know Paul, of all the apostles, you know, I just cannot fathom the amount of burdens that weighs on this apostle Paul. Having so much responsibility to all the churches out there and to see that they are fed with the Word of God. That's why he wrote even in this epistle, be sure that you get that epistle that was sent to that other church to be read in that church. To be read in this church and that one over there. Do you understand now? Note that you don't have printing press. You don't have photo scanner. You don't have a Xerox machine. You understand that, isn't it? So he wrote a epistle by hand and make sure that this letter is read in that church or the letter that is sent to that other church to be read in this other church. And he visits them often. And everybody knows that Paul is not physically handsome. His presence is not threatening. There's no signs of his authority when he walks into the assemblies of the believers. But the believers know that when he opened his mouth, that word that he spoke, they are all powerful and full of authority. That's what happened to the word of Paul. Because Paul has such a great revelation. And he wanted to get the people to see it. Because you know why? When the people see it, they get edified, they get built up. They know their position. That's why this book of Ephesus, Paul can teach to them deeper things than most of the other cities. So go and read the book of Corinthians, Thessalonica. The Thessalonians, the letter to the Thessalonian Christians. Those in the Philippians. But here, the book of Ephesus. These are deep things of God. the pointing sheep and the other Christians, they have the vision, they have the revelation to understand, because in their heart there was a Paul. We want to know, because Ephesus was Paul's own personal church. Now, I don't know whether you, I say this many times, I received some letters from Brother Tulasi, even recently I got one. The brother, I think, is from, I don't know whether he's from Nigeria or Ghana now. You know, he says, "Brother Gann, I read your books, I heard some of your messages on tape," and he says, I was shocked. He says, "What would it be like to sit in one of your meetings?" You know, for all of you here, you might get so familiar with me. And you hear me preach particularly every Sunday. And you know, it is true that a proverb says so true, familiarity in breach contempt. So after a while, it just means nothing anymore. Yes. And I have received compliments. And you say, "Oh, Brother Gann, the people must be very blessed to hear you preach and deliver all this word." If I can get out of Singapore and go to meet the brethren for months and stay with them and preach to them, they will feed me. They will see my comfort. They will rejoice in it. Like Ephesus, they have Paul to receive the word. They hear Paul all the time. But they enjoy it. And they get built up. And God has even asked the ministry, you know here, to feed you, so all the same time that you may be steadfast and thankful in that which God has put you in, a place, that this word will go out to others. Do you understand? And now the more that is given to you, the more is required of you. And more that God has given me, the more God is required of me. It's a weary thing to do. Tiring sometimes. But when you look at what Paul said, and what you see Christ revealed to Paul, because after all, Paul was a man. A Pharisee. A man who was so religious, so educated, loved God so much. And he thought he was doing God a service when he went out there seeking Christians to be brought down to be judged and condemned. When God and Christ met him on the way to Emmaus, on the way to Damascus, and struck him blind with a bright light, my Paul had his whole life was changed. Now he realized what he had done. What he served before was not the right thing to do. He was a religious emotion. But now he comes to spiritual understanding. And because of that, Paul says, "All that I have learned, I call it as dung." And God begins to pick his mind. And that's one thing I want to encourage ministers to get to hear this day. You may come in from a denomination church. You must get rid of all that tradition from you. Any religious book that's traditional based, out it must go. And that's what I did. The night that I received this message, you know, all my theological books, all the books that I received from all the publishers around the world, they're all organizations based on their, of course, their books are based on their theological schools or the system. I have Lutherans, I have Baptists, I have Methodists, I have Pentecostals. All those commentary book authors, you know what? He got thousands of them. A whole book's out of it. He went out the door. A best veteran friend of mine took it. He said, "You can take it. If he doesn't believe in any message, you just take it." And I'm left with only a few things. My Bible, my concordance, the history, encyclopedia of the life over in the Israel's early church, and so forth. Book of Josephus. And that's all that I particularly have. Yes.
And that's the only way that I can surrender my mind. Because if my mind goes back to tradition, I'm not going to get anything. Today, the same thing, you come to this message. Many of them are calling the Spirit, basing on the quote of Brother Branham. You can take that away. Don't base the doctrine and teaching on some quote of Brother Branham. Listen to the word of the prophet. See what you have to say. Go to the prophet, take it out. And get the revelation direct from God. Based on His word. Not based on what this man say, that man say. That's why as I preach this to you, you go and say, God, give me understanding. Right? Give me understanding. Or else you will be like those who misunderstood what Jesus said when He said, eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no eternal life. They have no understanding. The artists believe Jesus said that. They know that Jesus said that. You understand? Blessed be the God, the Father, Lord Jesus, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So you know how true that is. The Bible did not give any exception. Bless us with all spiritual blessings without any exception. The question is, can we contain all this? Can we contain all this spiritual blessing? Do you want to receive them all? And they say, oh, I'm so glad I'm a child of God. Yeah. I spoke in tongues and so forth. But that is not just. Yeah. There are more than that. There are a whole lot of more blessing. And you are not even able to receive it all. Now, if you go into a city and you pass a high-rise building, an office building, somebody up there throw a bucket of 50 Singapore dollars, 100 Singapore dollars flying out the window. Wow, there's hundreds of thousands of dollars flying out the window. What do you think you would do? Somebody just says, it's all, anybody else, you can take it. Just throw them out. You think you just get one, oh, that's enough, $50. I wouldn't be surprised that you will knock somebody over and crumble through somebody's head and just grab all that you can. Huh? Won't you? But Allah says, oh, Jesus is my Savior. That's enough. That's enough. The blessing that He wants you to know. Because salvation is just that. You understand that? Christ does not just give you salvation. He gives you more than just salvation. You know that? Huh? A lot of people don't understand. All that Christ has given you that is on the cross is not just dying for your sin and giving you eternal life. That's more than that. He has put you in the heavenly places to sit with God, to sit with Him, and to know the things that He knows. I don't want to know about what Christ knows. We know that all that God is going to do is His business. We know that, don't you? God's business, He will perform it. We know. But I must, and we must, be like Jesus who said, I must be about my Father's business. We must know what our Father is doing. Else we cannot have a testimony. That's why I said it. The test, it wouldn't be bothered about the coming of the Lord Jesus, you know. There's so much interest. You ask one of these denominator, you bring to a sense, oh, yes, I know, yes, he's coming. And that's all that they will say to you. Yeah, I know he's coming, yes. When do you think he's coming? I don't know. Maybe 20 years, 100 years, maybe. I don't know. And you say he's coming very soon. Yeah, he's coming very soon. Right? And you talk to them more about other things, right? Doctrine is not important. Don't split hair. Don't divide. Let us unite ourselves. Brother, just said we believe in tears in the Bible. That's enough. And that's the way they will go. That's the kind of people you see in the churches today. And that's why the tears have been bundled up, gathered and bound up, and ready to be cast into the fire. If you have an attitude like a Christian like that, How will we surprise your attack? Do you understand? The virgin has a desire to know the word of God. The virgin has a desire to know the bridegroom. They want to seek the bridegroom, meet the bridegroom, and enter into the feast. Now you may say that you are now here in the feasting. But you know one thing, as I say many times, all kinds of spirit goes to church. Tell goes to church, of course. Right? Sure. The big man that was charged in the sea, not only the fish, that has sinned and failed. But we have the jellyfish to go up like that and see having good times. You know, there are so many things to wave and dance around and see, oh hallelujah, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Here's jellyfish ever dance around and you have to see octopus, whoops, and they're in here and there, in here and there. Yes. They all dance very well. That's right. All kinds of creatures out there in the net. But only the fish, only those creatures with thin and scales are kosher. Is that right? To the Jew. All those are under the law, conform to the law, conform to the standard of God's word. Conform to the requirement, so to speak. And that is what they are gathered out of the net and put into the bathroom. Others, they don't conform, they caught a bat, are thrown back. It doesn't matter whether they are octopus, swim around with their knives, they're thrown into the sea. The jellyfish are thrown into the sea. The catfish are thrown into the sea. The prawns, tiger prawns, lobsters, jar lobsters, thrown into the sea. Because these are all filthy animals. They don't conform to the standard of God to be eaten, to be taken into the bathroom. So how serious are you today? The world passed away, you know. That's what my concern is, to let you know. Among the young people, I say, the world will pass away. I know. You know, I hate this modern world today. You see, sometimes I just look at what's around us. We have all these entertainment things. And people are sitting around with so much entertainment today than any other thing. I know young people go to church in the morning. After the service is over, they go to arcade. They go to play some game. They go to entertainment center and shoot out something, you know? That's not natural, you know? It's because that's the society that we live in. Oh, I wish that we go back to the old kampung days. All the old village days. All the old country kinds of days. First of all, they go to church. And then in the after service, they go home and have a meal. Sit around, have a little pleasure, go out there to have a picnic. As a nature. Perhaps, after the fellowship, you can go to the nature reserve. Yes, then go there, sing some songs. The nature reserve, look at the nature of God and enjoy the presence of God. But you know, we tend to see that this whole world, we are caught up with all this, entertainment things. We go, we see arcades, we go, we see movies, theater here and there. We go out, we see a shop, to sell all these modern things that we want to just get a look at. People are just curious to look at it. You know, a lot of those new gadgets in the shopping centers nowadays, not just handphone and all this, but all things, massage chairs and vacuum cleaners that work by itself or whatever. Huh? Then by the time we go home, we sit down, there's a big TV in our room, and we sit down and we relax, what's it? That's the lifestyle. And you young people, I can tell you one thing, it's a challenge for you. A challenge for you to wake up, because you are living in a time that you know Jesus said, when I come back, will I find faith? Young people, I know you have I wouldn't know what to say. I can only say this, that this is a time, we are living in an age that we will personally see the return of Jesus Christ. When all those things that passed away from us, they're never going to see Him face to face. They went to the grave. They went to the dust to sleep. Huh? But for us, I don't know about Sister Aggie. She's old here, and my mom is old. Now, We do not know how long. Perhaps if Christ will not come in the next 10 years, 20 years, they might go and sleep with the Lord. But if the Lord comes in the next 2 years, three, maybe, we will all see Him in the air. But you younger one, if there will be another 20 years, you still will have a chance to see Christ return. But yet, at the same time, we're living in an age that is so bad. That the things of the world is getting more hip up. More and more. Huh? Is that right? The sin is more. Immorality are on the increase. Divorce are on the increase. You heard in the paper here in Singapore itself, the divorce rate has gone up so high? Huh? Married around 20 years old, divorce next 2-3 years. Every one of them should have a lot of problems. You've got to think about this situation that we are living in. But I can tell you one thing, let me say something here. But the Bible says, where sins abound, the grace of God do much more abound in your life. If you only can surrender your life to God and turn to the Lord, the sins of the world will heap upon you, going to squeeze you out. Don't talk about the numbers squeezing us out and call us all kinds of names. Let me tell you, the sins of the world are going to squeeze everybody out. People say, well, okay, I need to go to church and have a great time and just make sure that I stay in Christ. And they go out there and the denomination church have a good time, charismatic, Pentecostal. How many of those hundreds and hundreds that go to church each Sunday, how many percent of the people really are in tune with God? Seriously. In His Word. They may have the Spirit, but they may not have the Word. And God is in His Word, not in the church. So He's going to give you all the spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, according to how He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of it. He has chosen you before you were born. He has chosen you before you were born. Now, I don't know. Look at the Ezekiel, Isaiah. Ezekiel is studying very hard, looking at the Word. Now, great people like young ladies, Jolene, you know, Amelia, and the sister, Annalene, all these young ones, you. Talk to the Lord. I tell you, you are aware that you are somebody special in Christ Jesus. The younger that you are, I know, at this age, you are very easy shaped. Your mind are easily manipulated. But if you let your mind be shaped by Christ, and you have a special relationship with Him. And you will know that you are somebody special. And even in time when you are having a lot of problems, don't forget that God is still always helping you. He's around to see you through. It may be a hard journey, but He will see you through. Huh? Michael passed me a CD, a VCD on the Gladiator, the Matrix, the Gladiator. It's based on something like Ben-Hur kind of a story about the Jesus Christ in the background thing. This Gladiator loses his faith because the girlfriend, or was it a sister, I don't know, was stricken by one of those Gladiator and she was kind of knocked out and he thought she was dead. She was calling out to God to help. You know, sometimes when God calls God to help, we expect instant answer. If God wants to take somebody in your family away, you expect God, take him out, don't let him die. If God wants him to die, take him home, why do you get angry with God? We always do feel that way. Yes, I know. We know that God knows that. But don't get angry with God so bad. What happened if one of your hands got cut off accidentally by a machine? Or I heard a story of a lorry driver. In those days, you know, your finger is always by hand. There's no aircon in the truck. No aircon in the car in those days. He's driving. Signal. Put his hand out the signal. Put his hand out in the car, and another lorry hit that pop. He put his hand in, his hand gone. At a high speed, he didn't realize his hand was cut off. He brought in, and blood was oozing out from the elbow. So what happened if something like that happened? Would you blame God? Would you get upset with God because you become disfigured? Nobody wants to have affliction. And like this man in the story, if you are God's servant, you are real servant. God is not our servant. But the way we make God sometimes, God is our servant. You see, the trial of your faith is what makes you strong. And He will never forsake you, even though we may forsake Him. Because why? If He has chosen us before the foundation of the world and predestined us, you see, He doesn't know what He's going to do. That man that Gideon had lost his faith in God. So he went back and worshipped Isis, the god of Egypt. But somewhere along the line, Peter came and talked to him. So that's the story, anyway. And Peter didn't say anything much. Peter believed that God, who started the work in him, will finish it. And later, of course, he realized he was a murderer after that, so the city went and killed so many gladiators. But somehow, anyway, we realize what happened in a story like this, always like the Ben-Hur story, when faith triumphed, it always will. No matter how dark, how much trial or tribulation we go through, faith always maintains us. If you raise up, we are raised up as a child. The parent raised you up. And we ourselves are down. If we raise up in the word right, those words of God will never depart from us. Alright? Now, according to chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That's very important. Holy, without blaming Him in love. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. Now we are being adopted as children. No, that's the word used is adoption. Because you know what adoption is? We are outcasts, you know. Outcasts, adoption is to take somebody else's child and adopt him. Is that alright? Sure. So the word adoption. But in Greek, the word adoption do not just mean that in the sense of the word. Adoption means to declare you as sons and daughters. Jesus was born a child. Right? By and the word of baptism, He was adopted, so to speak. The word adoption means to declare that He was the Son of God. Do you understand that? Now we became a child of God the day we received the Holy Spirit, the day we are born again. But here it is that we should be holy, having predestined unto the adoption. Now, He predestined us to a place that we should become sons and daughters of God. Now, a lot of those are in Jesus, I'm a son of God. Well, I wonder whether adoption has ever taken place. When Jesus was born, He was a child. When he was 12 years old, He was not yet adopted, you know. You understand that? Now, adoption hasn't taken place yet. He went to the temple, went to synagogue every every Sabbath, 20 years old, 25, 26, 28, 29, 30 years old when he went to water baptism. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased to dwell. That's the adoption. Do you understand? And where would the adoption take place? It will be when the sons of God are manifest in the millennium. So we are predestinated unto the adoption of sonship. Here we are, that's where we are now. God is, the Holy Spirit is tutoring us. Do you understand? Tutoring you, tutoring you. And God said, that's why in those days, the father being a businessman, very busy man, don't have time to tutor the son. Get a tutor to tutor the son. And the tutor must know the father's business, must know him well, and pass it to the son, all the instruction and knowledge to him, until the son comes to speak and report to the father, yes, the son now has passed the test. Then the father will declare the son before his company of people, all his friends and villages, this is my son. And he gives him a signal ring. And he will tell the people his ring, his mark, whatever he finds with that ring, is as good as my signature. Do you understand? That's right. As good as my signature. That's why Jesus Christ said, hitherto you have not asked me anything, but now ask. Ask the Father in my name and I'll give it to you. Because of all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. You see the signature? You see the signature? But we will be Christ in the millennium. We will be declared and manifest to the world as sons and daughters of God. Then it will be the manifestation of the sons of God. And then we will rule with Christ. But we rule with Christ wherever we are put in every place to rule. Whatever we find will be as good as the Father's approval. Do you understand this now? And we are being predestined to that situation. That's why God has put you as Moses. We are meant to sit with him in heavenly places. Now do you see that with all heavenly blessings? Not just, oh, we have salvation when we want to go to heaven, that's it. A lot of people don't understand about heaven, you know. What is heaven? They think they go to heaven, as I said many times, you know, on number 9. You understand what I'm saying? You wouldn't be surprised to ask a lot of Christians. When is that, where are you going to go? I'm going to heaven. Well, where is heaven? No, no. It's full of mansion. Huh? Heaven is full of mansion. Many mansions. Gates with the security guards. Everyone has their own security guards. And the mansion has many rooms. Every one of you have a mansion with many rooms. Many servants. You have many rooms to choose, many beds. Water beds, soft beds, double pillow beds, all kinds of beds. You can have that kind of thing in your dirty talk. That's the kind of thoughts that are completely out of the Word of God. Because in heaven, God don't have such many materialistic, filthy nonsense to be burned. Do you know that? Huh? Think about it. Those things don't exist in God's heaven. It's only on a kind of man-made, you know, this mental man, as Paul said, there's nothing good in him. It's carnal, it's sin. And then, as the Bible says, vain imagination. And vain imagination is an enmity with God. Good, in heaven there are not many mansions. Oh, but Jesus said so. Do you understand what Jesus said? If you don't know what Jesus said, then you are thinking that you are going to live in a mansion, many rooms, and you have someone to serve you day and night? Like you're a grand old multi-billionaire or zillionaire. And you just snap on your finger, somebody comes to serve you. No. That's when we have a revelation to understand what God is talking about. You are the mansion. When you come to that day, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. I'll prepare a position for you. And he has a house prepared for you. And that house is the Word of God. your theophany. You are having a new body. This, you know that you are living in a mansion here now? You're living in a house? Your body is your house. You are not this body. You are inside the body. You following me? You are in the body. When this body be dissolved, what would I do? I don't want to be naked because I need a home. And Paul said, you have what waiting for you? Spiritual. And I go to that spiritual body, the theophany, a word body. So that's what God says, the thing that God has reserved for us. But some people don't understand. They don't care to understand this thing. To the praise of the God of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the beloved. And who is that beloved? That's Christ. In whom we have redemption. In whom is who? It's Christ. We have redemption through His blood. Now see, that's only one thing. Redemption through His blood. Forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. Wherein He abounds towards us in all wisdom and prudence. Now God in all wisdom, you know, His supremacy and all the intellect that He has designed all things and by His foreknowledge predestinated all things as He will. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, wherein He hath purposed in Himself. That's God's good pleasure. It has nothing to do with you. You understand? It's all based on the will of God. Based on His grace. As the Bible said, no man seek after God. God seek after man. It's the God that seek after man. But again, you know the Bible says that to find God early, find Him. As God said, seek me early and you shall find Him. Yes, that's different. He's talking about if you come to Him. You, as a believer. But when you are a sinner, you don't look for God, do you? You may see some emptiness in you. And you want something to fill it there. And God meets you on the way with the gospel. You understand? And when you have God, now you start seeking Him early. The earlier you continue to seek Him, but of course, reflect in the morning. But also, when you come to the Lord, the sooner that you begin to learn more of Him, seeking more of Him, then He will come to you. Draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. Sometimes we wait until God will do something for us because we are frustrated with Him. Just as some little boy and little kids, when mama and daddy scold them, they stay on corner and sulk. Lunchtime, they will not come to the table and eat. They want, mama is going to call me, daddy is going to call me. I want to humble my father and mother. Is that what you think? Some of you kids? Y'all do that, don't you? So mama's, somebody is shaking their head. So mama and daddy have to come to, honey, come on, let's go in. And father and mother have to apologize, you see. Sometimes it's the same with us and now. When things go wrong and we upset with God, we just refuse to talk to God. Because it seems to hurt. And with anyone, when God knows you're hurt. And when you're hurt, you realize you're wrong. When we don't feel the hurt, then we don't believe that we are wrong. When somebody speaks the truth, it hurts, isn't it? And we tend to defend ourselves. I'm not right, I'm not wrong, I'm not nothing wrong. I'm not nothing wrong. It seems that way. We have to find excuses. Excuses, excuses. That's the song that goes with it. All kinds of excuses we get. But God has predestinated and purposed it according to His own good pleasure in Himself. And if He were to do it, if He purposed it in Himself, you can be sure He's going to finish it. After all, He has purpose. You know, when you want to go a group of young people want to go on a nature trek, you know. Five of us, let's say, want to go. One of them just like a fan. A lot of mosquito, you know. Remember the leeches, you know. Remember, I'll join you, so he said. You see, he has no purpose to go. He just wants to peck along. Right? And I tell you one thing. Maybe halfway into that, he says, I want to go home. But people with a purpose will finish it because they want to do it. And if God has a purpose for him himself, he's going to finish it. He didn't make up his mind and halfway says, no, I just want to wipe out all human beings. And everybody's gone. You know, the first day he started it and he just wrote it out. Some of us children may do that. When you want to do something, and you cannot, you just simply do something. Just do, because it's a homework. And halfway, we just cannot finish, wipe it and throw it away and do something else. No. That's what Jesus said. He will be a foolish person who doesn't count the cost, in building a building, as to whether he can finish it. Start on a construction, and halfway, he has no fund. There's no door and no roof. Right? No, that's not the way God do things. Do you understand? So when he started it, that's what the Bible says. He's the owner of the finisher of the faith because he has purpose in himself. So, relax. And enjoy the presence of God. Because it's real. That in the dispensation of fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who has worked all things after the counsels of his own will. Now, what is this inheritance? You know, we all have an inheritance. In whom? Who is whom? Christ. It's Christ. You understand? In whom? In Christ we have obtained an inheritance. Being predestinated according to the purpose of God. He is God who works all things after the counsel of his own will. What is inheritance? We have obtained an inheritance from him. Some of you do not know what inheritance is, huh? Because you don't read the books that were published? Because you already forgot? I don't know. Every one of us, when you are born into the world, you inherit something from your father. Do you know that, Shepard? You know your head. Every one of us, when we are born into the world, whether you're male or female, you inherited something from your father. That's the name of your father. That's right. Right? Is that all right? You carry your father's name. Of course, some religions, they don't. Huh? Of course, there are some often. They lay on the roadside, like in Cambodia. In countries that are Africa and India, poor. And these people does not practice family planning. They got too many, they cannot handle. They leave it on them on the roadside. Some good male person will come along and pick it up and raise the child up. Nobody knows whose child is that. And the child raised up without any inheritance. The only thing that he received will be inheritance of his adopted son. Today I went in the pit. The case of child swabbing accidentally in Taipei. And happened to be two good friends anyway. The wife turned in the door and they brought home the child, and they took the wrong son. Each one took the other son, you know, the other's baby, and they raised it up for 13 years until one man who worked with this man who had raised up the boy, he asked him jokingly, he said, did you get the right child, you know? You know, sometimes when you have a lot of baby in a ward, that's why when we were nurses in charge of baby ward, we make sure that the name tag is always there, don't get lost and misplace somebody else, you know. And then, well, the father was kind of a bit queer because he always looked at the other boy of his friend, looks more like him. So, well, the school happened to have an exercise of taking the blood type. And his son, the one he raised up, was type A. He was type B. His wife was type O. They said, ho, definitely not. And when I asked the other man for the blood type of the son, and found the son had his blood type. And they brought it up to the medical authority. And they traced and found out, yes, testing, and then finally they realized. Both fathers had the wrong child. Wrong son. But unfortunate, because they did together, you know, more or less, and know each other all this year, working together. And so the boy goes to the same school, they were always playing together. So, just imagine. Both of them have not the inheritance of their father. Somebody else. And so here we look. In whom also we have an inheritance. Did possess according to the purpose of his whole thing after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trust in Christ. In whom we also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Ghost of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. We'll stop here today. The earnest of your inheritance is the seal of the Spirit in you. But first, you must have an inheritance of the name that which Christ received from the Father, and he has given it to you. That inheritance that you receive from Christ, which Christ received from the Father, is the name of Yahshua. That's who you are. You are born under that name, Yah. You inherited that name, Yah. How could I be born again? Yah means Yahweh is God. Oh. Jehovah is the son of a gun. He'll always be a son of a gun. Won't it? But he goes to war when he goes big, and he goes to war, everybody will call him gun, gun. Like, you know, in hospital, call me gun. And I believe the same thing in Jimmy when he goes to war, gun. You always call my surname, isn't it? Is that not true? Unless you have two guns there, then that's a problem. You have to give them some name then. Otherwise they will call you Gun, and they'll call you Lee, call you Tan. Is that right? Is that right? Sin, brother Sin. They will call you Sin. Or Mr. Sin. But when you're a casual colleague, they always call you by your surname. Sung, brother Sung Si Chu, they will call you Sung Sung. Am I alright? Or they call you Si Chu. Unless there are many students, they probably call you Sichu. Isn't it right? How true that is, isn't it? So we are all born with that name. We have a new birth. So we are son of Yah, son of God, children of God, daughters of Yah. That's your inheritance. You bear that name. Is that true? You read in the paper today about the gate who came out in the open. I can tell you one thing. It's very terrible for a parent to discover and say, oh, my son is a gay. Huh? He bears the name, my name, and he's gay. No. The family name is not gay, gone. But you see, the body becomes a reflective, you know what I mean? You reflect your father. And that's, you know what, we bear the name of Christ, Yah. Let us reflect the father. Because we're not going to be like him. We are being more to be like him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your grace towards us, Father, is bountiful. Lord, of riches and glory, Lord, as you extend that grace towards us, we call for your blessing upon us. And as long, Father, as we are willing to open our hearts and our arms, Lord, to receive it, you will surely pour it down for us and unto us, Lord. Because you have blessed us with all spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. For that we are thankful, Lord, and we know the journey we go on may be hard. And all that which is going on now, Father, especially for the young ones. With all these modern things in the world, with all the knowledge, oh Father, abundant so much in the world, Lord. But we pray, Father, you help them for this last leg of the journey. And I pray that every one of them, Father, had a really have a special touch, a special relation that they are truly born again, Lord, and are quickened by thy Spirit. As young as they may be, young as like Christie, Lord, to be able even to experience the presence of God, to experience the reality of Christ, Jesus' love, in her. We know, Father, regardless how old we may be, 6, 16, 66, how old we may be, regardless of our age, we can get a special touch from you. We can draw ourselves near and you draw yourself nigh to us and you will touch us and you bless us and you fill us, feed us, Lord, with thy word and to see your presence. We thank you, Lord. The word preached this morning, and we pray, Father, it be an eye-opening, Lord, to every one of us. To know of our position in Christ Jesus, the position, Father, that you have made for us to sit with him. And we call it all joy, Father, for what you have done for us. Help us, therefore, Lord, to press on this journey. And as we prepare ourselves, as we shape us, O Lord, in full obedience, tutoring us by the Spirit, as Christ was tutored, and to the day, we are put into the position of adoption, manifesting as the Son and daughters of the living God. We thank you, Father. You may not yet seem as we are, but we are. For we know that you count all things finished. Those things that were not yet seen, they are all already finished. For thou hast already said, from the very beginning, when you set the thing in motion, and when you have already done what you've done, you have declared it is all finished. We thank you, Lord. And Christ Jesus, our Lord, fulfilled it all at Calvary's cross. Therefore it is finished, Lord, unto us all that are here this morning, presented before you, Lord, and we pray also for others that are around the world gathered. in fellowship and worship, that they understand their position in Christ Jesus, that all things are finished from the very foundation, from the beginning of the foundation of the world. We thank you, Father. Blessed be thy holy name. We give all praise and glory to you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.